Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Michael K. Show.
Back to throw. He's looking Robbie Anderson's way. Throws a timing out to the sideline. Jumping in front of Robbie Anderson and getting his second pick of the game is Trey Herndon. That is going to put this game on ice for the Jaguars.
For me, I made bad decisions out there. We just got to do a better job protecting the football.
And it's intercepted out near midfield by A.J. Boyer.
I made too many bad decisions.
I feel like I haven't helped him enough, haven't put him in a good enough position.
And right now the Jets are just finding none of those answers. They didn't find the answers on Monday night, and they have not done a much better job of finding those answers today.
It's not working the way that it should.
All we can do is just put our head down and stick together. It has to come from a point in time when enough is enough.
We just got to keep going. We got a long season ahead of us, and we got a chance to get some wins, but it starts this next week, and we got to look at it like that and have that mentality.
Nobody's pulling us out of this. We have to do it.
The final score here in Jacksonville, it's the Jaguars 29 and the Jets 15, and the Jets drop to 1-6 to start off the season.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, this has been an interesting day if you're a Jet fan and if you're a member of the Jet organization. We spoke with Adam Gase at 5 o'clock, and he was about as honest as he could be. The only thing I would disagree with what he said, I think that the game against the Dolphins is pretty big, just in terms of your quote-unquote program. Now, we're waiting on Joe Douglas, the GM. He has just addressed the media, but when he addressed the media, he did not have the Jamal Adams tweet that was just sent out. So we will ask Joe that right at the start when we get him, and he is on with us right now. Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. How are you today, Joe?
Good, guys. How's it going?
Things are going well. It's certainly an interesting week for you and your team. I just want to start off with a tweet that was sent out by Jamal Adams a couple of minutes ago. He said, any reports of me asking to be traded from the New York Jets are completely false. At the end of last week, I sat down with the GM and Coach Gase and told them I want to be here in New York. I was told yesterday by my agent that the GM then went behind my back and shot me around to teams even after I asked him to keep me here. Crazy business. Your reply to that?
You know, I was just alerted to that tweet. I would say that last week, Jamal and I had a good conversation in my office. We talked for a while. He did state that he wanted to be a member of this team and he didn't want to go anywhere. And I've stated all along that, you know, we did not make any calls on Jamal. You know, teams called us. And so, teams had been calling us, ever since, you know, there was a social media issue a few weeks back.
Right.
My message was clear that Jamal was an absolute stud, and we're not interested in moving him. Teams continue to call. You know, I was always taught where I'm from. If a team calls, you listen to what they have to say. At the end of the day, teams called on a lot of our players, a lot of players other than Jamal. And at the end of the day today, we felt like the value that was offered for any player didn't meet or exceed the value that we have for that player as a New York Jet. So we were never in serious trade offers, trade talks as far as that serious offers.
So here's a question, Joe. What do you do now to sort of fix this thing with Jamal? Because now this seems like a thing that's been building for weeks, where he puts out little things on social media that makes it seem like he's unhappy. He tells you he wants to stay, and now clearly there's some level of a rift because he goes on Twitter and kind of outs you. What do you do now to make sure you guys are on the same page now that he's staying with the Jets?
Well, I think in this case it's a simple miscommunication. I think someone told him that I was shopping him around, and that's not true. I was not shopping Jamal around. So I think it's just a matter of just talking with Jamal. You know, I talked to a number of other players today that had been leaked out publicly that were being discussed in trade talks. I was able to talk to them individually, just let them know exactly what I told you guys, that there was talks. I did listen to what teams had to say. At the end of the day, We're not in a position. We're 1-6. We're not where we want to be, but we're not in a position where we're looking to have a fire sale on players.
I'm just curious, Joe. You the word around the NFL about you. You're a stand-up guy, man of your word. Obviously, your reputation means something. For one of your star players to come out and say, the GM went behind my back, I mean, this guy cannot control himself when it comes to tweets, and they're certainly not complimentary toward the Jets. How do you deal with that? I know it's a new age with players, and social media is their opportunity to get their word out, but that word's not complimentary to you, Joe. So what do you do?
Look, I don't take it personally, and like I said before, I think it was a simple miscommunication. I think someone told him the wrong thing.
His agent.
True. Again, it was the wrong thing.
Okay.
And we did not call anyone. We were not shopping Jamal. I can promise you guys that. So, you know, I don't take it personally. You know, I think it's just a simple fact of reaching out and communicating with Jamal.
Well, you mentioned the tweets, and that's why you were still getting phone calls early because of that. So has all that been hashed away? Because it does seem like he is someone that likes to tweak the organization. And as good as a player as he is that a problem for you?
I mean, look, I don't have a Twitter account. I don't have an Instagram account. So, you know, I don't follow all that. That was kind of news to me when people started reaching out, talking about a possible rift because of that. So, you know, I think, you know, every player has the right to, you know, have their social media account, do what they want, do what they feel like they need to do on the social media. We're not going to hamstring any player as far as what they want to do on their
free time. I get it. I don't subscribe to Playboy, but if my wife poses in it, you know, we're going to have a conversation. You know, so I'm just saying is that I'm not saying you have to follow, you know, on social media, but when a guy likes negative comments about his quarterback and his offense, I mean, I would think that's something you kind of want to weed out from one of your best players and one of your leaders.
Right. And, you know, I can tell you guys we've had multiple conversations just to, you know, check in on him and make sure that, he's in a good place. And I can tell you guys all of my conversations with Jamal have been positive conversations. And just honest, heartfelt conversations. You know, the details of that are going to stay between me and him. But I can promise that at no point in any conversation were we both anything other than honest with each other.
Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, is with us. Joe, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network reporting that the Jets and the Cowboys engaged in talks, and that you guys wanted a first and 2 second rounders for Adam. So you were willing to trade him if the price was right. Is that correct?
Look, as far as willing to trade if the price was right, I mean, that's not something that it got to, you know. And for me, again, I'll just say that, you know, where I'm from, the organizations I've grown up in, you listen to every call that comes in on every player, you know, unless it's a franchise quarterback. And so, you know, we were in a situation where we listened to those calls. And again, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any crazy demands made. It was just, it wasn't like, hey, we're expecting to get this or nothing. It was what is your best offer on player A? And it was multiple players, not just Jamal. And we felt that all offers that were made weren't offers that, you know, reached or exceeded the value that we have with the player.
Any truth to Le'Veon Bell conversations happening today?
You know, teams did reach out about Le'Veon. You know, again, I was able to have a conversation with Le'Veon after the deadline. And again, guys, the same thing. Le'Veon is a valued member of this team. He's one of, if not the hardest workers on this team. You know, his football character's through the roof, you know, as tough as they come. And, you know, I told him straight up, you know, teams did call on you. We felt that, you know, what was offered wasn't good enough for the caliber of player you are.
Now, we're talking with Joe Douglas. Joe, I've always wondered about this. You took over after the draft, after the money was spent, and really the only thing that your fingerprints are on, for the most part, is Ryan Khalil. So we can't blame you for what's happening with this team. But because you don't have an investment in those guys, and you traded a Leonard Williams who was not your draft pick, do you have any investment in them, or is that like somebody else's mess that you're willing to – I mean, do you even want Sam Darnold moving forward as your quarterback? Because he wasn't your pick.
Absolutely. I mean, Sam, I think we all saw what Sam's capable of in the Dallas game. I mean, the simple fact is that Sam's a 22-year-old young man. He's played in 17 NFL football games. You know, there's going to be ups and downs with a young quarterback. I think he's flashed, you know, the games like Dallas where, you know, we can see that he can be a star quarterback, but we have to help him as an organization. You know, myself, coaches, players, we all have to wrap our arms around Sam. And back to the first part of your question, I don't look at this roster as one GM's players versus my players. I don't look at it like that. I've tried to spend the last 4.5 months getting to know these guys. I've been here every day. I've tried to evaluate this team and strictly from an objective perspective. And you know, I can tell you that this team cares. They fight hard every day. The results, we're not where we want to be. We're 1-6. Okay, we're not where we want to be. But the efforts never lacked. The spirits never lacked. The execution has. You know, so we've got to do a lot of little things better to dig ourselves out of this hole.
Speaking of taking care of Sam, did you guys make any phone calls about getting Trent Williams?
You know, I don't want to go into details about that. You know, there was a lot of talk about Trent, you know, with a lot of teams, and ultimately, you know, Washington made the decision to not move him.
You satisfied with your coach?
No, nothing's changed in my opinion on Adam. I think Adam's a very good coach, a very good communicator. I feel a lot about Adam the same I do with Sam. You know, we got to do more to help him, and that's on me.
When you took over, did you think this was a team? Now, nobody could predict the injuries that have happened, Joe, but did you think this was a team that would be 1-6? Did you think it would be this bad at this point?
You know, I came in with my eyes wide open. Obviously, there's a lot of talent on this team, and that's why it's been a busy 48 hours for me, fielding calls. There's a lot of good players on this team. We're not where we want to be at 1-6. So we've got to find a way to, you know, handle the adversity, stay together as a team, put two plays together, then put drives together, then halves, and then full games, and then try to go on a run. So again, we got to do the little things better.
And again, this is not completely your fault. You tried to address the offensive line with what you could do. You talk Khalil out of retirement. You try to check the waiver wires. But would you say of all the things that need change and fixing, does it begin with the offensive line for next year?
I mean, guys, you know, on my opening press conference, you know, the line of scrimmage is important. It all starts and stops there, defense and offensive line. So we've got to take better care of Sam. We have to open holes for Lev. You know, and it's not just a talent thing. It's technique. It's the little things, guys. I know it sounds cliche. I know I keep saying it, but these little things add up to big things. You know, gaining ground on your first step, your hands are in the right place. You know, all of that matters. I do know that these guys care. I do know that these guys are frustrated. I do know that these guys are working hard to fix it.
Does the owner Christopher Johnson ever come to you and go, "What the heck's going on, Joe?" I mean, what do you tell Christopher Johnson?
You know, Christopher and I have conversations often. You know, he asks for my opinion. I give him my opinion. We have a lot of good conversations. You know, and frankly, you know, Christopher deserves better than 1-6. And you know, it's our mission to make sure that we're not in this position again in the future.
Where do you go from here? I mean, you have half a season left to play. I mean, what can we realistically expect? Now that the rosters are set, right, the trading deadline is over, so what can we realistically expect now the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of football left. We've got 9 games. I mean, our singular focus is going down to Miami and trying to get a W, you know. So that's everything. All of our efforts are focused on this one game because it's the next one, and we just have to execute and do everything the right way.
Joe, what were your thoughts behind trading Leonard Williams?
Tough decision. You know, Big Cat was here for 4.5 years. Obviously, I've been here for 4.5 months. He's, you know, he's a consummate pro. You know, a great person, excellent work ethic, very tough, very durable. So that one was not an easy decision. Those talks have been going on for a while. And you know, at the end of the day, after talking with Adam, after talking with Christopher, this was an opportunity to get you know, multiple picks that can, you know, give us some flexibility in the draft for this year and next year, as we help to add some youth and talent to this roster.
Joe, in this town, very rare for the Yankees and the Mets to make a trade, or the Knicks and the Nets. Was it tough trading him to the Giants? Did you give that some consideration?
It's funny. I mean, like, a couple people come up to me, like, I can't believe you've done a trade with the Patriots and the Giants.
Yes.
But I don't think of it that way. I mean, if it's an opportunity that we feel can help our organization, you know, I don't think we look at the decal on the helmet. You know, if it's an opportunity that we feel makes our team better, we're going to do it.
Listen, Joe, I know today isn't like the most fun interview to have to do. I just want to say right now, for football guys that we've talked to on the show, you are one of my favorite people to talk to. I like the cut of your jib, sir.
Whatever that means, guys.
I don't know what it means completely, but I appreciate the candor today.
I follow what you're saying, and I appreciate it, guys. And thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care. You know, it's hard to say there's any blood on his hands. I mean, this guy took over this train wreck. This is not his responsibility. He, in essence, didn't even hire Adam Gase.
This is not his
mess.
And he said everything you're supposed to say. He's standing with Sam. He's standing with Gase, of course, who's the reason he's here. I thought the way he handled, I thought he seemed very straightforward about
the Adam stuff.
The Jamal Adams stuff. I mean, I meant what I just said to him. He's such a refreshing person to talk to. Maybe it's just the tone of his voice, but he just really doesn't come off like a phony.
Yeah, I just don't know where you go as far as criticizing him. This is not his roster. As you mentioned, it's not really his coach, although there's a relationship. He was hired after the coach, right? So it wasn't like he hired the coach. He had a say about the coach. So he kind of gets a pass from me, because what is he supposed to do? How do you fix a roster after the draft, after free agency? And he's right on the Adams stuff. If I'm a general manager, I'm taking calls. Heck, if I'm the Patriots, you know, why wouldn't I take a call on Tom Brady? I mean, I'm not going to trade him, but why would I ever refuse a phone call? I mean, you know, if somebody went to call them up and said, I'll give you a first-round pick for the next 5 years, is he supposed to say no? I've already talked to my player and said he's not going anywhere.
Well, yeah, his defense is that he didn't call anybody. People call him, and that's cool, okay? But Jamal is barking up the wrong tree here. So he spoke with the GM, says, I want to be here. And then his agent says the GM is making phone calls trying to shop you. So what? The GM never told him, as far as we know, you're going to be here forever. So Jamal said what he said. Joe Douglas listened, thanked him. Now, he said he didn't shop him, but even if he did shop him, Jamal doesn't have a kick coming on this. Sorry, this is a business. You've got to be an adult. And the bottom line is, he listened to phone calls, and your agent, according to Joe Douglas, lied to you.
But
even if you did shop it, I have no problem with it, because that wasn't promised.
But he said he didn't shop him.
Right.
But he's getting phone calls, and he admitted, and this is why it's believable, because he was getting phone calls last week after the tweets.
Right.
Because everybody's radar went up and said, maybe he wants out of New York, so I'm going to give Joe a call and see if I can get him. So is Jamal Adams such a great player that there's no package that you would trade him for?
I mean,
the answer is no.
Jamal Adams acts like he's Joe Namath. Well, what has he done?
And I'm sorry, he acts like a guy that still does not want to be here, because at the end of the day, he didn't believe his general manager. Instead of saying to his agent, "Hey, listen, let me talk to Joe and make sure this isn't a miscommunication," he believes his agent, goes right to Twitter to tweet it out. So it just shows you that I don't think he's completely comfortable being here. And I'm sorry, you're not Ronnie Lott yet. But even the 49ers, when Ronnie Lott was there, would take a phone call because a team might actually say to you, listen, I'll give you half my franchise. There might be a Herschel Walker deal. You can't say no to certain things.
Now, Charles Robinson, who's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, just tweeted out, for what it's worth, a Cowboys source has told me that Dallas inquired about Jamal Adams. The Jets did not open the conversation. They picked up the phone. So does Jamal Adams now apologize? Does he apologize to Joe Douglas for impugning his reputation?
Nothing worse than impugning.
If Joe Douglas did call the Cowboys, he still didn't do anything wrong.
But I don't think he did. And probably what Jamal will say is, yeah, they shouldn't have taken the phone calls, because I'm Jamal Adams. Why would you ever trade me? Oh, I'm going to take the call. And the word was that the Cowboys offered a first-round pick, and the Jets still said no.
Right.
Which I would have said yes. But the Jets said no. So instead of being happy that this team wanted to keep you, you're still going to find a way to get your digs in? Come on, really?
It's not a good look for Jamal. He comes off looking really bad.
And this is
bad.
Why he's so weak, too, is because he knows when he tweets something negative about the Jets, he's going to get nothing but positive feedback back because all the Jet fans are going to side with the player instead of the organization because the organization has been so bad.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. A new time, at least for today for ESPN.
Great news for people who are tuning in going, oh, I missed ENN.
No, you didn't.
It's about to start.
Oh, it's about to start. It's hot, heavy, and it's real. Coming up next on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.